From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 28th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County will help us look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about what's happening in the futures and prices of corn with ag economist Daryl Good from the University of Illinois. And we'll also take a look at the weather forecast. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City left us a nice short message on what's been happening and what will happen this week. Look for a little rainfall as we move into tonight and tomorrow, and then we'll clear back up as we move into the later parts of the week. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check now the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. At the CME Group on this Monday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit were down, lower at 9 3/4. 6.81 was the settlement price for the December contract. March contract down 9 3/4 as well. At $6.92 for the soft red in July, at $6.90, down 11 1/2 cents. The hard red finished the July at 7.55 3/4, 8 3/4 lower. December futures, 4.30 3/4, down 9 1/4. The hard red, rather, at 7.50 3/4, down 8 1/4. It was the spring wheat, and the July was down 8 3/4. December corn now, 4.30 3/4, down 9 1/4. The March at 4.43 1/4, down 8 3/4. And the May futures, 4.52, down 8 3/4. July corn, 4.59 3/4, 8 1/2 lower. December of next year at 4.75, down 7 3/4. November beans, $12.71 1/4, down 28 3/4. January, $12.68, 25 1/2 cents lower. March soybeans, $12.50 3/4, down 21 1/4. And the May contract, $12.37, 18 1/2 cents lower. July futures next year, $12.31, down 18 3/4. And November soybeans, the 2014 contract at $11.57 1/4, down 7 3/4 for the day. Bean meal futures at $4.14.70, 8.80 lower. Bean oil at $40.36, down 37. Live cattle futures finished the October at $133.15, up 57 1/2 cents. December at $133.80, up 82 1/2. October feeders at $165.97 1/2, up 42 1/2. And November at $167.7 1/2, up 42 1/2. Lean hogs finished December at $91.95, $1.52 1/2 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $98.74, up 89 cents. The RBOB price of gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.63 1/2. That's up 4 8/10. Ethanol futures, $1.83 1/10, down 3 cents for the day. And the spread between the two is 80 1/2 cents, or rather 80 4/10 cents wide. That's 7 8/10 cents wider than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.56 1/8. Down 13 9/10, and diesel fuel at $2.96 3/10, 5 3/10 cents higher. Gold futures finished 40 cents lower on the day at $1,351.90, and the U.S. dollar at 79.24 is up 0.05 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and a high near 62 degrees on the afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy and a low of 38 degrees. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers. That'll come after 2 in the afternoon for Illinois and the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly cloudy and a high of 58 degrees tomorrow. Tuesday evening, that 40% chance of showers and rainfall will continue. It'll be cloudy with a low of 51 degrees. And on Wednesday, the showers turn into thunderstorms after 8 a.m. in the morning. It'll be cloudy, a high of 70 degrees on Wednesday on a southeast wind at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation has increased to 50% Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms Wednesday evening at 70%. And then Thursday, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms, and 65 degrees. Thursday evening, showers and thunderstorms. Friday, showers, mostly sunny and 58. And Friday night, mostly cloudy and 40. Saturday, finally, sunny skies and 55 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. This is the 28th day of October, 2013. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I don't know whether we call it good afternoon or not, depending on which side of the market you're on, I suppose. But it was kind of ugly in Chicago if you wanted the prices to be maintained or to go higher.
Yeah, fairly sloppy trade today. A lot of selling taking place. If you're short or sold some grain or have some downside protection, it is, fairly decent day. But if you're one that still has good yields and need to sell some more cash grain, it makes it more of a challenge. But, a lot of hedge pressure. Yields continue to come in phenomenal. Still hearing reports, nothing below 250 bushel, nothing below 200 bushel on some timber ground, western Illinois, where they really struggled, a lot of 200, 210 bushels in some areas there. Bean yields, 50 bushel on double crop bean yields. Still hearing some decent yields, and it's going to help offset some of those in some other areas that did not receive the fortunate weather or timing on things. And that continues to set the stage for a potentially negative and November 8th crop report, for say, and that has put a little fear in the marketplace here. Also, too, guys kind of wrap up in some areas. They've elected to just go ahead and just, move out some grain and due to some decent basis levels in some areas to take advantage of that. But started overnight, China's talking about selling some more reserves, and that kind of weighed on prices. Didn't see any real big new sales announced here this morning. We had option expiration there Friday, and it kind of favored the downside when things all shook loose there. And just overall long liquidation, and we're going to see open interest go down a little bit after today's trade.
No, it looked like soybeans may have been the leader to the downside. Is it the idea here in part, and I don't know whether this is the case or not, when you come in on Sunday evening and you start trade, you've got all day Saturday and you've got all day Sunday, and then you've got all of Monday's hedge pressure coming in from the elevators, and it all sort of snowballs into this kind of day. And can we have a turnaround Tuesday if that's really the case?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, guys, move some, when we start trading at 8:30, and that's traditionally when you start to see the weekend hedge pressure come in and take place. As far as time, we kind of feel today, tonight, tomorrow will be the low here for the week, mm-hmm. and we can see some recovery take place. It's not going to recover as much as one wants it to get back to where we were, but we could see some recovery, at least going into Wednesday and Thursday. Then after that, we could be subject to a little bit more selling pressure. We've done some technical damage here. We've tripped some sell programs in, so the momentum indicators are kind of down and through here. New contract lows for corn's not bullish, and not holding this 1280 level in the beans is kind of negative. So the market's going to have its work cut out, but it is oversold on the short-term scale, and producers are not going to be aggressive sellers, after today.
You suppose the trade is working its way towards higher carryouts for both corn and soybeans based on bigger yields, even if USDA is to change the FSA acreage and adopt that into the crop production report on Friday?
Yeah, it's an ongoing story. A lot of moving numbers there. And we feel we're closer to a 2 billion bushel corn carryout. And, of course, the bean carryout is going to move a little bit higher, too. So that's where some of the negativeness comes in, as they kind of brace for some type of negative news there on as we move into the month of November.
Yeah, of course, that'll come out at 11 o'clock on the 8th day of November. That's not this Friday, but the Friday after that. So we'll be interested in watching that. We have some time before we get there.
Yeah, there's going to be some ups and downs in through here, but overall, there's no urgency to be a buyer. Over time, though, I think the end user is going to continue to use these breaks to get some coverage on, and the overall trend will be a little bit firmer in basis as we move into December there, especially when harvest is complete. The thing to watch is tomorrow morning with this break in here, see what type of new sales, if there's any develop here overnight on this lower go. That's the function of the market, is to seek lower prices here to seek out some demand.
You suppose when you look forward, December at $4.75 for the 2014 contract is a place producers might consider next year as still a sale?
Well, when you some of these guys pencil in expenses and so forth, it's going to be a lot tighter. It's kind of hard to do it, but we feel back in the upper $4 here. It needs to be hedged until we at least see where we are in February on some of these revenue policies. But, yeah, right now it looks like this 485 to 495 is going to be some areas to consider to get a little downside protection going through this winter.
Do you have upside potential where you want to do the same thing in beans, or are you more confident with that marketplace?
Well, beans are going to back towards this 1185 area is going to find some significant resistance there. Southern Hemisphere is off to decent start. Ideas are Brazil's anywhere from 25 to 35% planted. Ag ministers got their production dialed in anywhere from 87 to 89 million metric tons versus about 81 million metric tons from a year ago. So with their crop going in a timely fashion and barring no real weather concerns or disease concern or insect concern, we're going to see a huge crop out of that southern hemisphere.
Hey, thanks much for taking the time with us today.
All right, take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Your Director of Agricultural Programming is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Mosaic Company has agreed to buy the Florida phosphate business of fellow fertilizer company CF Industries Holdings Incorporated for $1.4 billion in cash. Mosaic and CF Industries also signed strategic supply agreements under which CF Industries will provide Mosaic with up to about 1 million metric tons of ammonia per year, starting no later than 2017. The CF Industries facilities currently produce about 1.8 million metric tons of phosphate fertilizer per year, which would be added to the annual 8.2 million metric tons currently produced by Mosaic. Members of the House and Senate are scheduled to begin long-awaited negotiations on the five-year, roughly $500 billion farm bill this week. The House and Senate are far apart on the sensitive issue of how much money to cut from food stamps. The House has passed legislation to cut about $4 billion annually, or about 5%, including changes in eligibility and work requirements. The Senate has proposed to cut around a tenth of that amount. One way to pass the bill quickly could be to wrap it into budget negotiations that will be going on about the same time. If that does not work, lawmakers could extend current law as they did at the end of last year. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has said he wants to finish the bill and will not support another extension. Argentina President Cristina Fernandez's governing bloc held on to control of Congress in Sunday's congressional elections, but the results buried hopes of changing the Constitution to let her run for a third term. Losses in Argentina's most populous districts suggested growing unhappiness and a weakened presidency. The president's opponents won more than enough seats to block any constitutional changes, ruling out a re-election for Fernandez in 2015. Burger King Worldwide Incorporated's third-quarter net income surged as it sharply reduced its restaurant expenses, mostly due to the refranchising of company-owned restaurants. For the 3 months ending September 30th, the hamburger chain earned $68.2 million, or 19 cents a share. A year earlier, it earned $6.6 million, or 2 cents per share. Sales at restaurants open at least a year worldwide, including both company-owned and franchised locations, rose 0.9%. Same-store sales in the U.S. and Canada were down 0.3%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, there doesn't seem to be any good fundamental reasons for the price of corn to rally much. I'll have more on the prospects for a rebound. Corn prices appear to be completing the short crop long tail pattern stemming from the drought-reduced U.S. crop of 2012 with record large production this year, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. He says, for many producers, the lower prices now being experienced have been partially offset by high yields or by expected indemnities from crop revenue insurance. Some also forward-priced a portion of the crop at higher levels. However, anecdotal reports suggest a relatively small portion of the 2013 crop was forward-priced. So producers are choosing to store a large portion of the newly harvested crop. If that characterization is correct, there's a lot riding on the direction of corn prices over the next several months, says Darrell Good.
In the very near term, the most important price factor will be the USDA's forecast of the size of the U.S. crop to be released on November 8th. To move prices higher, that forecast would have to be smaller than current expectations that are pretty near the September forecast of 13.8 billion bushels. A smaller forecast in November would likely have to come from a reduction in the estimate of harvested acreage, since yield reports tend to support a yield forecast at or above the September forecast.
Beyond the size of the U.S. crop, prices will be influenced by the strength of demand as reflected in the rate of consumption. The focus for the next 10 weeks will be on the pace of exports and the pace of ethanol production. The pace of feed and residual use will not be revealed until the release of the USDA's December 1 stocks estimate. That comes out the second week of January. Corn exports, particularly to China, then, may drive the marketplace.
The pace of sales to China will be monitored closely, although the Chinese import strategy may be difficult to anticipate. For example, if corn prices are expected to persist for the remainder of the year and remain low into 2014, there would be no urgency for China to buy large quantities of corn immediately.
As of October the 3rd, USDA has reported 144 million bushels of U.S. corn being sold to China for delivery during the current marketing year. However, only 19 million bushels has actually been exported. That as of the third day of October. The U.S. ethanol consumption is pretty constant, near 13 billion gallons, and that seems unlikely to change as long as the leaked U.S. EPA document suggesting a change in the biofuels mandate comes to fruition. Corn used for ethanol this year should not, then, exceed 4.9 billion gallons.
Corn prices, particularly during the last half of the marketing year, will also be influenced by the expected size of the 2014 crop. The higher prices for that crop now reflected in the market suggest that a decline in production is expected. Such expectations would have to be based on acreage rather than yield expectations. With corn producers reporting nearly 3.6 million acres of prevented planting in 2012, and with current 2014 crop prices favoring corn over soybean production in many areas, A decline in corn acreage in 2014 seems unlikely.
Taken together, current prospects do not seem to favor a quick or substantial recovery in corn prices without production problems in South America, says Darrell Good. He thinks without an increase in the price for the 2014 soybean crop, lower corn prices may be more likely. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net. Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson is here to take a look at the cash grain market. He, of course, is a buyer, purchaser there at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. How are you?
Good, Todd. How are you?
Well, I'm very, very well. I bet you've been busy and probably were that way Saturday and Sunday, and folks are moving quickly, aren't they, before the rainfall?
Yeah, exactly. We had a nice weekend. People were able to get back into the bean fields, and everybody's trying to get those beans done ahead of the rain Tuesday or Wednesday. And there's still a lot of corn left to go, too, especially to the east of us. And, you know, I think we can get to that, hopefully, you know, once this rain system moves through. But we're trying to get the beans done ahead of that storm.
And have you seen much of a switch yet from the beans to the corn, or are they going to make it or not?
I think for the most part, there's still going to be a few left, but I think the majority of people are going to be done with beans before that rain hits Tuesday.
And as they come in, are you still hearing good yields from the beans? Have they maintained the stability?
Yeah, they probably lost 7 or 8 bushels from the early yields, but the early yields were 55 to 65. So, you know, if you put the later ones are in the 50s, which considering how little rain we had, I think that's amazing that the beans are yielding as well as they are.
What do you make of the break today in the marketplace?
You know, a combination of good weather, better than expected yields, and then throw in a little rumor that the EPA may want to lower the mandate for ethanol and biofuels, and you know, throw that all together, and it leads to a lower day.
A lower day, will it lead to a continuing of the lowering of the marketplace throughout the week?
Well, you know, Dease corn seems to have support at 4.25. We're at 4.30 today, so I guess we could go a little bit lower, but I'd be surprised if it takes out that 4.25 price yet. Even though farmers, you know, have corn, it just doesn't feel like they want to sell it at these prices. So I guess I think 4.25 will hold. And, you know, we saw export sales, export inspections anyway, were good today on beans. So I kind of think that there's demand for these beans. So I think that, you know, not that we're going to be wildly higher, but I think there's going to be people buying stuff on the way down.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 4.22, January 4.28, next fall 4.50. Cash beans are $12.63, same for January, next fall $11.32.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Chocolate Day. It's also Feast of Simon the Apostle, patron of sawmen and tanners. On this day in agricultural history in 1793, Eli Whitney applied for a patent for his cotton gin. Long staple cotton, which was easy to separate from its seeds, could only be grown along the coast. The one variety that grew inland had sticky green seeds that were time-consuming to pick out of the fluffy white cotton balls. Whitney solved the problem, but he charged farmers a fee for the ginning, 2/5 of the profits paid in cotton. That exorbitant rate caused planters to come up with their own versions of Whitney's gin and claimed they were new inventions.
Whitney sued owners of the pirated versions, but due to a loophole in the wording of the 1793 patent law, he lost. It would be years before a change in patent laws made his claims of piracy enforceable. But by then, it was too late for Whitney to make much money off the device. In 1886, the Statue of Liberty was officially unveiled and dedicated in New York Harbor. And in 1916, Cleveland Abbey died. Abbey was an astronomer and meteorologist and is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Bureau was authorized by Congress in 1870. The Bureau was originally placed under the Secretary of War and later the Department of Agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check now the weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Most of the Midwest is expecting to see rain develop as we move through the next few days. That's likely to create some delay in farming activity. There's a lot of aggressive activity going on right now because the forecast has been for a wetter bias this week for a couple of days now. And the producers out there are likely advancing fairly swiftly with their field work in anticipation of being shut out of their fields for a few days later this week. Some of the rain will begin in the western Corn Belt as early as later today. The precipitation will begin at rather erratically, though. I don't think there's going to be any immediate shutdown and field opportunities for work, at least not right away. Now, with that said, there will be definitely some disruption occurring in some of the western areas as we get into the afternoon. But for the heart of the Midwest, from Iowa and Missouri eastward, we should be able to get through almost all of this day without any precipitation. And, like I said, good aggressive field progress will likely be made, especially in soybean fields where the crop is probably most vulnerable to a quality decline if it rains as much as what some of the models have been suggesting. Rain will develop overnight tonight in the western Corn Belt, and most everybody will be impacted by dawn tomorrow. We'll expect the precipitation to be lightest, though, in the far northwestern areas. So parts of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota will not see a lot of precipitation, and some of that which does occur up there that way could be a little wintry mix of precipitation types. The rain that occurs in the Iowa-Missouri corridor will likely cross over the Mississippi River during the day tomorrow and advance throughout the eastern Midwest as we go through the second half of the day and into Wednesday. Precipitation will be reinforced by a secondary little disturbance that will bring more precipitation into the western Corn Belt late Wednesday and early Thursday morning, and that will shift on into the eastern Midwest shortly thereafter. The precipitation that occurs through Friday morning is likely to be great enough to set back field progress for a while. We expect to see rain totals in Missouri, Illinois, northwestern Indiana, portions of southwestern Michigan to run over an inch, maybe some 1 to 2 inch amounts scattered across some of that region. Further northwest you are in the Midwest, the lighter the precipitation will be. Some areas will only see a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to half inch in the far northwest corner of the region, while there will be some amounts in the half inch to 1 1/4 inch range in the southwest portions of the Corn Belt. And in the easternmost areas we'll also see half inch to 1 1/4 inch amounts most common. Well, this particular frontal boundary will be out of the western Corn Belt probably sometime Thursday evening. It'll be out of the eastern Corn Belt sometime Friday morning, and we'll expect to see dry conditions to occur in most areas except the Great Lakes region. They will likely still see some showers occurring Friday night into Saturday morning, and eventually we'll see some drier air move into the region for late Saturday and more likely Sunday. There's another cool front, though, that will come across the Midwest during the early part of next week, and that is likely to generate some additional precipitation potential. That frontal system will be in the western Corn Belt late Sunday into Monday, and it'll be in the eastern Midwest Monday into Tuesday. Tuesday. The front will move fairly quickly. There may not be a lot of time for the moisture from the Gulf of Mexico to work its way along the frontal boundary, so the precipitation totals may be kept a little bit light. We're looking for a tenth to five-tenths of an inch of moisture with that event and maybe something a little bit greater.
Okay, our thanks go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.